wind that blew. He was not in the earthquake that shook. Oh, come on and say amen. He was not in the fire that burned. But God was, it was a still small voice. It was something that we didn't expect. And sometimes God will speak to you in a still small voice. We're looking for God to show us a sign by the wind blowing. Lord, blow me this way. We're looking for God to shake some things up. And ain't no shaking going on. We're looking for God to burn something, burn with the fire. And God is not burning with the fire. What happens when God doesn't give you the dramatic? Can you still believe that God is there? What happens when God doesn't do anything that grabs your attention with your physical eye? Can you have faith with your spiritual eye that God is there? Oh, Lord, have mercy. After the earthquake, the fire, there was still a still small voice, and it was so when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle. Now, his mantle represented the anointing of God. He had the mantle with him the whole time. Why didn't he wrap his face in the mantle before this? He had the anointing. What does the anointing do? The anointing destroys the yoke. The anointing takes away the burden. The anointing makes a difference in your life. And see, we can be anointed and walk around here and still be sad. We can be anointed and walk around here and still be depressed. We can be anointed and walk around here and still with our head hanging down. But guess what? God is saying, take your anointing and get your anointing all over your face. Come on, get your anointing from, you need to get your mind. Why did he put the mantle on his head and wrapped his face in it? Because sometimes you got to understand that the enemy attacks what's in your head and what's in your face. So he said, I got to get the anointing in the place where the enemy is attacking me. I know this mess is just in my head. I know it's the devil putting thoughts in my head. I hear voices in my head, something telling me to do something else. When God says do this, I got to put my mantle on my head. And when he wrapped his head or his face in his mantle, he went out. And see, we can't do anything until it's we get under the anointing of God. We can't get in God's presence unless there's an anointing. We can't just walk up boldly and say, you know what, I'm here, God. No, we got to go under the anointing. So how do
we know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Hogan Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welsh Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, County, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, County, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. And I want to look at verse 11. your consideration. Revelation chapter 12. Shouldn't have trouble finding. It's the last book in the Bible. I know many of us don't park out there, but 12th chapter, verse 11. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Let's begin reading now. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to speak from the subject, you must be all in to win.
Come on, doctor.
You must be all in to win.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
My brothers and sisters, it is imperative that we understand any undertaking in life that's worth taking a part of, or being a part of, or winning, as it were, considers the fact that we must involve our total self. It depends on how badly you want to win. It depends on how you want to progress through the process, whether you come out on the top, in the middle, or on the bottom. Mostly depends on how much of you put in the situation. It's imperative to know that even life itself gives you back what you put in multiplied.
Come on, doctor.
God said, if you sow sparingly, you shall reap what?
Sparingly.
But if you sow bountifully, you shall reap what?
Bountifully.
How come people want to sow sparingly and want to receive bountifully? That goes against the word of God. You can't say one thing, do one thing, and expect another thing. It's important to recognize that Revelation here, John is exiled on the Isle of Patmos, and he's in the Spirit of the Lord on the Lord's day.
Come on now.
Jesus Christ, through the Spirit of the living God, begins to give him great revelations. Revelations that he could never fathom. Some that he's seen that are too great to utter. Some that he has witnessed that would scare many folk and does from reading the book of Revelation. But it's really talking about the end times and those things that have happened. It is both prophetic and historical, because it talks about a prophecy that's a preview of things to come, but it also talks about history that's a review of things that have happened. And there are many signs and shadows and types in the book of Revelation. And so he is given an epic understanding of events, episodes, and experiences in this book called Revelation. What is so important about it is this is chapter 12, one of the epic events, seven epic events in Revelations that deals with the importance of understanding how they overcame him, representing Satan, the serpent, Slewfoot, the devil, Lucifer, the accuser of the brothers. And so what's important is to recognize
that we too are going to have to deal with the devil, because if you back up to verse 7 in the 12th chapter here, you'll discover that there was a war in heaven. Now that's historical, because it's we're reviewing what has already happened.
Yes,
and here's what's important. If you want to know how to defeat the devil, this is a good start for us to see how those who defeated him did it.
All right,
now, one of the things, Jesus has already given us a demonstration of that in the Word when he walked here on planet Earth. You do remember when he was baptized and came up out of the water, and the Spirit let upon him like a dove, and he was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness and fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he wasn't hungered, and then the devil came to tempt him. Mm-hmm. And three times he tried to get Jesus to do something that was not within the will of God or in the context of the Word of God. And every trick and trap the devil tried, Jesus retorted with, "It is written."
Mm-hmm.
And he shared with the devil afresh the Word of God. Isaiah said in Isaiah 40 and 8, the grass withereth, the flower faded, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. And so he uses the Word of God to defeat the devil. That's a helpful holy hit to anyone going through when the devil talks to you, when the devil deals with you, when the devil comes at you. You need to come back with him to be able to combat him with the Word. Crying, being emotional, talking about this and talking about that, accusing other folk won't help you none. The only thing will help you is the Word. Now, here we see this war breaks out in heaven. The archangel Michael, he's one of the four archangels. Michael is the archangel of war. Gabriel is the archangel of the Word. Raphael is the archangel of water. And Lucifer was the archangel of worship. And so Lucifer got to the point where he wanted God's job. He wanted to be king. He wanted to be the head honcho. He wanted to be the Lord himself. And he didn't realize that heaven wasn't big enough for the two of them. And so God, listen,
yes,
didn't have to lift a finger. Now that Jesus, now that the Holy Spirit. But he simply called Micah, his archangel, and the angels of heaven to war against Lucifer, Satan, the serpent, the dragon. And they warred against them and won. Now, when they won, guess what happened? They were then kicked out of heaven because the loser couldn't live with the winner.
Yeah, there you go.
But there's another reason, because if he took a third of the angels with him, with his wicked influences, if he had been left there, how many others could he have persuaded to come to the dark side?
All right, doctor.
So God got him out of heaven, kicked him out down to earth. So he's no longer heaven's problem, he's earth's problem.
Yeah.
You find that out in the 12th verse here in the 12th chapter. But at any rate, verse 10 tells us that there's a loud voice saying in heaven, salvation and strength is come.
Yeah.
Now, What this simply meant is that since Satan is gone, God has demonstrated to them that they have the power over him, because all of them that warred were created beings. Created beings. God don't have to fight with his creation. All he has to do is speak. You've heard the old deacons and preachers pray he can speak and worlds exist. He can speak and worlds cease to exist. All he had to do was speak. But since they were created, he let them war it out together. And therefore, Satan and his angels are kicked out of heaven. And then now peace abides in heaven. And so there, what they rejoice about, now listen at this well, because I need you to hear this, that the accuser, somebody say accuser.
Accuser.
The accuser is kicked out of heaven, who went before God day and night accusing the brothers. Day and night accusing the brothers. Now listen at this, because here's the problem. Don't you get sick and tired of tattletales?
Yeah. Come on.
Always telling on somebody, always talking about somebody, always putting somebody down. Every time you talk to them, nothing good to say. Always something negative.
Yeah.
Negative. The angels got tired of hearing him go to God about this one and about that one. And I mean, everything he could find, he took it to God to try and get them in trouble. But now here's what I need you to understand. Now the accuser is down here. That same accuser, make no mistake about it, is still going before God. But this time, he's accusing you, and he's accusing me. Now, it doesn't mean that all his accusations are untrue or unfounded now. He's just a tattletale. Anything and everything he can find to bring to the Lord to add against you, he does it daily. Daily. God, did you see that text? God, did you hear that call? God, did you see the way he looked at her? God, did you see the way she did this, trying to entice him? God, such as God. And he's doing it even now.
Hallelujah.
But verse 11 says, and they overcame him. That ought to be shout news for somebody. Because what this tells us in this verse is three things. One, that it's encouraging for us to know that these created beings were able to overcome the serpent, the dragon, the devil, Satan himself. That gives us hope and says to us that we also can overcome the devil. Here's what you need to do. All successful folk know that principles, listen, do not change. If you learn to practice the principles that profit you, regardless of who you are, you will prosper. Because principles are like a roadmap. If you get on the trail or the path where the roadmap takes you to and follow it to the T, it'll get you from where you are to where you want to be. And so principles, listen, are true regardless of who practices them. So when you learn how to practice principles of success, then you can have the success if you are all in, like those who have practiced those principles are and were and have been accomplished or succeeded because the formula is true. Henry Ford said, after he made his first million, he said, if I lost my million, first million, he said, it'd be much easier the second time to get it again. Why? Because he learned the principles of how to make the first million. And how you become a multi-millionaire is learn how to first become a millionaire. And when you learn how to first become a millionaire, just use the same principle over and over again. And it will continue to multiply, multiply, etc. So here we have not only the encouragement in this word, and they overcame him. The created beings overcame Satan. We too can overcome him.
Yes.
Secondly, it gives us an example in this word because it tells us how they overcame. It tells us by example.
Yes, Lord.
But then thirdly, it also tells us that not only were they encouraged and not only did they give us an example, but they showed us how to endure. Endure. Because see, you can be on the right road.
Yeah.
But sometimes you can give up before you get to the end.
Lord have mercy.
Sometimes you can be doing the right thing, but you throw in the towel and say, I got enough. I can't take no more. So you've got to learn how to endure. Let me show you again, because the word says, and they overcame him. That's encouraging to us. But then the example is here. By, this is how, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
Yes, Lord.
Those two examples are paramount in overcoming the devil.
Yes,
but
Lord.
This third part cannot be left out because it says, and it's a conjunction like the first two were here in this text. It makes clear that they endured how? Because they loved not their lives to unto the death, which meant they were not afraid to die. What they had on the inside of them was so strong, so real, so rich, so reassuring that even in the battle, if they had to die for what they believed, they were willing to pay the price. Just like many in our civil rights movement in the earlier years, many of them died for the cause of freedom so that we could have and enjoy the rights that we enjoy. And a whole lot of us must understand, someone has said, if you're not willing to stand for something, yes, ma'am, you'll fall for anything. And how true that is. And so they were willing to endure to the end. Jesus said, if you save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose it for my sake, you'll find it. You'll be able to have life eternal. Don't be afraid of he that can destroy the body. Be afraid of the one who can destroy the body and the soul. And that's God himself. And so when we look at this word, let me show you three other things in the text.
Come on, Doctor.
One, when it says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. This portion represents the cross because it takes us to that place where Jesus Christ is the figure here. The blood represents what he did at Calvary. It took the precious blood of Jesus to pay the penalty for our sins. It took the precious, pure blood of Jesus to be able to pay our sin indebtedness. It took the blood, excuse me, to pay for all of the wrongs that we had done that Satan accused us of.
Yeah.
Now, many of us have done a lot of wrong, but some of the wrongs, Satan just tacked on to it.
Come on, doctor. Come on, doctor.
See, sometimes you've got to be careful because everything ain't what it appears.
Yes, sir. Right.
And so he tacked on some stuff, but here is the truth of the matter. It was the blood of Jesus that was able to pay for every sin that we have committed to the point and degree that it did not matter what the accuser accused us of. If we had come, accepted Jesus, repented of our sins, owned him as our Savior, he would pay the price for that sin. And that meant that the devil didn't have a ground to stand on against us. You see, one of the reasons why the devil can mess with us is because some of us are not forgiven. And some of us are not forgiven because some of us have not repented. You see, Jesus has paid for your sin, but you've got a part to play.
Right.
You've got to ask him to forgive you of your sin. You've got to repent and want to turn around from doing those things that you did that upset the decorum. You've got to recognize that once you are saved, you belong to God.
Come on, doctor, come on.
In many countries, in many places in the world, especially those persons who are in islands and separated from Main Street America, many of them have superstitious ideas and they have several different customs that differ from ours. One of them is, if a person saved another person from drowning or pulled him out of a house burning or in any kind of way saved their lives, that person whose life was saved is no longer his or her life, but that life belonged to the person who saved them.
All right.
That meant for the rest of their lives, they would be the servant to the person that saved them, because had that person not saved them, they would have been dead from that situation that the person saved them from.
All right, doctor.
Their gratitude ran so deep that they figured from that point on, I'm living in a period of grace. Had it not been for the person who saved me, I'd be dead right now. And so whatever they wanted them to do, whatever they called them to be, didn't matter the time of day, didn't matter the service, they did it willingly because they were now not only servant, but slave to that person that saved us. Jesus Christ saved us.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, he did.
And he saved us not by simply pulling us out of sin, pulling us out of the fire, pulling us out of the water, but he saved us by dying on a cross for us.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says, by the blood of the Lamb. The Lamb here in this portion of the text represents the substitutionary death of Jesus, which meant just like the lambs in the Old Testament times were sacrificed and their blood was taken so that the sins of Israel could be atoned by their blood, because without the blood, there could be no atoning. Jesus sacrificed.